It's here and now. Steelworkers are now patrolling the streets of several cities in eastern Ukraine, and pro-Russian separatists in at least one city have ended their occupation of government buildings. One man, Ukraine's richest, is at the center of this new development. His name is Renat Akhmetov, and he runs one of the world's biggest steel companies. On the line to tell us more is Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist magazine. Edward, thanks for talking with us.
Hello, Sasha.
And would you explain why, weeks into this crisis, this man is now urging his steelworkers to patrol the streets in eastern Ukraine?
Well, I think that Mr. Akhmetov is one of the most powerful people in Ukraine, but he isn't the person who determines absolutely what happens. And I think he's been waiting to see which way the wind is blowing, if this was going to succeed in the terms of the Russian incursion into Ukraine succeeding. I think he might have come down on the Russian side eventually. But I think he probably reckons that it's reached a kind of high water mark, that most Ukrainians do want to keep their country united. Most Eastern Ukrainians want to keep their country united. And this Russian-backed separatist effort seems to have run out of momentum a bit. And so I think he's now positioning himself to be on the winning side by sending his workers out to push back the separatists in these towns and cities that you mentioned.
And when you say push them back, are they playing a thug role? Are these armed steelworkers? What exactly are they doing out there on the streets?
Well, I think they're just big, beefy men. And I haven't seen any reports of them actually having sort of real weapons. But there's a bit of a tradition of this in Eastern Europe. We had in Romania in the 1990s, the coal miners used to be brought on as a sort of stage army by one political faction or another. And we've also seen coal miners being used in Russia as well. So I think it's not too difficult for him to do this. And it ultimately, I think, has a sort of more of a decorative and symbolic effect than a real one. The big picture is that the tide of separatism seems to have turned in eastern Ukraine, and the Ukrainian authorities, very belatedly, clumsily, quite incompetently, but do seem to be getting their act together a bit more. And so I think this is Akhmetov positioning himself so that he will continue to play the, I'm afraid, very negative role in Ukraine in future that he's played in the past. He's been around for 10, 15 years, and he's part of a system in which people spend a huge amount of money to get elected, and then once they're in power, they then make sure they become even richer.
Is he financially motivated in that he's concerned about the fate of his steel mills and his steel companies if the government and the situation in eastern Ukraine is unstable? Is this a financial motive?
Well, I think nothing in Ukraine is just financial and nothing is just political. The two things are really intertwined. And clearly, if eastern Ukraine broke away and came under Russian rule, some big Russians might come and take his steel mills away from him. So he wouldn't like that. And that's certainly a consideration. And if there's complete chaos, his steel mills can't function. And that's a consideration as well. And I think broadly, both he and the other oligarchs want Ukraine to have good relations with Russia because that's where they sell most of their stuff. They'd also like it to have good relations with the European Union because that's where they would like to sell stuff in future. What they don't really want is Ukraine as a law-governed democratic country with a free investigative press, because that might be rather bad for their business model. And it's worth pointing out that one of the reasons you may not have heard very much about Mr. Akhmetov in the past is he's extremely litigious, and anyone who writes about him, particularly in the United Kingdom, ends up with a very expensive lawsuit if they're not careful.
That's Edward Lucas. He's a senior editor at The Economist magazine. And a new edition of his book, The New Cold War, came out this week. Edward, thank you.
Thanks, Sasha.
You're listening to Here and Now.